Good afternoon, it is BBC Radio Berkshire, 20 minutes past five. More travel you trust for you in just a second. Also, the story of rubber bands and how that's been affecting the Royal Mail and how much they're spending on that. For now, though, looking at broadband, it's an issue that has angered people in many rural parts of our patch here in Berkshire. And depending on where you live, you might not even get broadband at all. Some small village groups have been getting together to put pressure on BT to get broadband in their villages, but one man in the broadband black spot of Yuam says that many people don't realise that mobile broadband is no more expensive, but it can work very well in rural villages. Former IT consultant Chris Jenkins says 24 households are getting very usable broadband even this way, and he joins me on the line. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good afternoon, Roy.
So this is working via mobile broadband then. Just explain that for us.
Well, mobile broadband is using the cellular telephone network. It's called mobile broadband, but it can be used as a sort of a fixed line broadband. It's more commonly known as 3G. That's the technology that's used. But I found in rural Ewelme, which is where I live, that the broadband via 3G is extremely usable, especially compared with the sort of landline speeds that we're getting here. We're quite a long way from Wallingford Exchange. Only a few people have broadband on landline, and their experience is that it's quite slow, certainly in today's sort of usable speed rates. Recently I've been getting sort of 6.8 megabits a second, which is very comparable with both fibre optics and landline broadband in cities. And I'm very sure that other rural areas would be able to sort of achieve the same if the residents were aware that 3G is in fact being sort of beamed across Oxfordshire and Berkshire at this very moment, and as long as they use the right sort of techniques with the bits of cheap equipment that they would need to purchase, they'll also start enjoying broadband at quite usable speeds.
Okay, Chris, and this is via a dongle, is it?
Yes, yes. The dongle is usually regarded as a sort of, like, it looks like a memory stick, and you would plug that in your USB port of a computer, but the latest equipment that's available from mobile phone shops is a wireless router, which looks a bit more like a mobile phone. And if you sort of, certainly in rural areas, if you attach that to a window rather than having it inside the house, this also transmits Wi-Fi inside the house, and you can use more than one computer to get your broadband. So in sort of areas where broadband by landline is very difficult, and I know there have been a number of campaigns and interviews with people being extremely frustrated that they can't get better sort of landline broadband, either via landline or fibre optics, this is a worthwhile alternative that they should consider. You did mention, in fact, that that I know of at least 24 people in this village who are using 3G or wireless broadband at the moment. In some ways, I feel more saddened by the people in the village who are using landline broadband, where they can only get half a megabyte or at most just over a megabyte. And, of course, having broadband, it's very difficult to sort of say, okay, well, we'll stop using BT's broadband and we'll go for mobile. But if you consider, certainly with the slowest ones, that you can get 10 times the speed using wireless, it's certainly worth considering.
Well, Chris Jenkins, thank you very much for coming on this afternoon. Chris Jenkins, a former IT consultant. Now, luckily, Fevzi Turkalp is here to save the day when it comes to all the gobbledygook that goes with stories like this, Fevzi. I mean, we heard there from Chris 3G, Wi-Fi, megabits, speed, dongles. Are you able to shed some light on some of these terms for us?
Yeah, I mean, Chris pretty much had it right. So where you haven't got wired internet coming into your home, be it by your telephone line or a cable provider such as Virgin, then you're really stuck if you want internet access. And this wireless technology called 3G, which basically uses the mobile phone network, so it's those mobile phone towers that you see everywhere, not only do they carry telephone conversations, but they can also carry data. And in its fastest form in the UK, that's called 3G. If you've got no choice, then clearly that's the way to go. But I would just put a few caveats on what went before. None of it was wrong, but I would just say that you should be very careful, because you could have a 3G SIM card in your phone already, and you might be tempted to pop that out and plug it in via one of these little dongle-type devices into your laptop or your desktop PC. But just be very clear on what your data allowance is, okay, because your contract will allow you typically a certain allocation per month. And if you go over that allocation, it could end up costing you a lot of money. So you really have to be clear on what deal you're on. Are you on a capped deal? If so, what's the cap? And then you'll need some sort of software on your computer to check your usage before you go over the cap, so that you're aware of it. The other thing I would say about this, and it's this, mobile phones in general and 3G in particular, I think we have to take, from a health point of view, a precautionary approach. I think most people would feel, you know, the occasional mobile phone call is fine and, you know, in the scheme of things, unlikely to be very harmful. However, if you're on the internet for hours on end and you've got these high energy signals coming in very close to your body, you know, the government does say we should take a precautionary approach with regard to exposure to this stuff, particularly for children. Children having thinner skulls than the rest of us, they can be subject to this. So I would say 3G is fine for sort of intermittent use, typically when you're traveling. It wouldn't be my ideal choice for your sort of home internet. One, because as I've said, it's quite easy for it to get expensive on you if you're not careful. But also, there has to be a question mark about how healthy that is to have that beaming around, you know, for hours on end.
Well, Fevzi, thank you very much for coming on, explaining some of that for us. That's Fevzi Turkalp, the gadget detective, who a very much good friend here at BBC Radio Berkshire, was on hand to explain some of these terms, especially when it comes to technology.
Rory McAllister on BBC Radio Berkshire.
Be part of it.
BBC Radio Berkshire.
So we've got more on the royal wedding still to come between 5:30 and 6:00. For now, though, we're turning our attention to the Royal Mail. It's spent £5 million in the past.